day I was born, I heard a sound. I put up my head and I looked around. My mama was swaying to and fro while she listened to the radio.
This is the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.
It certainly is, and it's the news for week commencing November 10, 2024. This week, WIA Director and Company Secretary Peter Klee, VK8ZZ, and past President of the WIA, Phil Waite, VK2ASD, join us. Now, Waite, there is more, much, much more in this edition of news from your Wireless Institute of Australia. I'm VK4BB, Editor Graham.
This is WIA Director Peter Klee, VK8ZZ. The IARU Region 3 Conference is held every 3 years. This year is the 19th International Amateur Radio Union Conference and is being held from the 4th of November to the 8th of November in Bangkok, Thailand. The host society is the Radio Amateur Society of Thailand under the royal patronage of His Majesty the King of Thailand. The Wireless Institute of Australia, as the peak body representing amateur radio in Australia, is a member society of the International Amateur Radio Union. There are 39 member societies of the IARU in Region 3. Each member society is entitled to send one delegate to the triennial conference along with observers. This year, we are very grateful that Mr. Peter Young, VK3MV, has agreed to be the nominated delegate to the conference. There are also several virtual observers to the conference, including myself. It was actually back in on the 12th of April in 1968 that representatives from a number of countries within this part of the world met in Sydney to establish a regional arm of the IARU, that being International Amateur Radio Union Region 3. The purpose of IARU Region 3 is detailed in a recent news article on the WIA website. The official opening on day one of the IARU Region 3 conference was met with traditional Thai dance. After the opening ceremony, the conference got down to business, dealing with agenda items. One of the first agenda items was a debate on the structure of the IARU Region 3. The meeting agreed to keep 7 voting positions on the executive. The position of secretary was retained as a non-voting member of the executive. The position of chairman has been renamed to president and will be elected by the triennial conference from now on. A new position is that of vice president, which has also been an elected position. Day two of the conference was dedicated to consider input papers from societies to the conference, which were presented on the morning of day three. A detail of the daily events has been posted on the WIA news pages. The IARU is essential and every radio amateur needs the IARU. This has been WIA Director Peter Klee, VK8ZZ.
News and more of it every week. We are VK1WIA.
The WIA's Education Committee, in consultation with the Spectrum Committee, have released a new EMR awareness presentation and a station analysis tool. The package consists of a PowerPoint presentation, a station analysis flowchart, and a link to the RSGB's online EMR calculator. All the information is on the new Education Committee website at www.education.wia.org.au. Click on the 4 WIA Radio Clubs tab at the top of the homepage. This is the start of the journey to improve the EMR appreciation, knowledge and skills of every amateur radio operator in Australia. Compliance with EMR safety standards has been a condition of your amateur licence since 2003, both apparatus licences and the recent class licence. It is both a safety requirement and also a step along the way in negotiating higher power privileges for Australian radio amateurs. Everyone should have a go at analysing their station for EMR compliance using the flowchart and the RSGB online calculator. You'll need to enter the characteristics of your station to determine its compliance class, Class 1 or Class 2. Class 1 stations don't have to do anything further, but stations that are found to be Class 2 are then required to use the RSGB online calculator to determine the required exclusion zone around the transmitting antenna. Most people will be surprised at how small the required exclusion zone is for the average amateur station running 400 watts or less. So, that website again, education.wia.org.au. Click on the 4WIA Radio Clubs tab and let us know what you think. And thanks to the RSGB for approving the calculator's use by the WIA. This is Phil Waite, VK2ASD, for the WIA's Education Committee.
Australiana. Last week we heard from President Scott from the WIA and he mentioned the talk of 6G at the recently held ACMA RADCOM. Well, yes, 6G technology is on our horizon and Australia is gearing up for its future rollout. While we're still enjoying the benefits of 5G, research and development for 6G are actively underway locally and globally. Experts expect commercial 6G networks to appear in Australia by the early 2030s. 6G promises lightning-fast speeds, ultra-low latency and enhanced connectivity, paving the way for advancements like augmented reality, advanced Internet of Things applications and AI integrations. Australian universities, research institutions and telecom companies are collaborating to develop the necessary infrastructure and the standards to support this next-generation network. For our amateur radio community, 6G presents opportunities. The enhanced spectrum management and advanced communication technologies could improve coordination and integration with digital modes. Government bodies are already working on spectrum allocation and regulatory frameworks to ensure a smooth deployment. Although it's still a decade away, the groundwork laid today will position Australia at the forefront of this technological leap.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
Hello. As millions of people around the world celebrated Diwali, the Hindu festival of lights, stuck in space NASA astronaut Sunita Williams radioed home a message of festive cheer. I want to extend my warmest wishes for a happy Diwali to everyone celebrating the Festival of Lights around the world, Williams said in a video message sent from the International Space Station. Speaking from the ISS's window with Earth as her backdrop, Williams, who is an American with Indian heritage, spoke about her father's efforts to keep Indian culture alive after he migrated to the United States in 1957. She also touched upon the symbolism of Diwali, the triumph of good over evil, light over darkness, and hope over despair. Diwali is a time of joy, as goodness in the world prevails, she said. Alpha Uniform 2 Juliet Charlie Bravo is a special event callsign to commemorate the birth date, the 30th of November, and to pay homage and to tell about the great Indian scientist Acharya Jagadish Chandra Bose, who's recognised as the father of wireless communication by the scientific community of our world and IEEE. The U2 DSI Data will operate this AU2 JCB special event call, as he has for the past 18 years, from the 15th of November to the 16th of December. Acharya J.C. Bose, as the father of wireless communication, held demonstrations in 1895 and 1897, which predates all. Bose transmitted wireless signals to a distance of a mile. Popova in Russia was still trying remote signalling at this time, and the first wireless experiment by Marconi was not successful until May 1897. Bose is a pioneer in microwave optics technology. His invention of 1 centimetre to 5 millimetre radio waves is being used in radars, satellite communication, and remote sensing. Bose's concepts from his original 1897 papers are now incorporated into a new 1.3mm multi-beam receiver on the National Radio Observatory 12-meter telescope. Bose anticipated the use of P-type and N-type semiconductors 60 years ahead of his time. Bose developed the use of galena crystals for making receivers. In Bose's presentation to the Royal Institution in London in January 1897, he speculated on the existence of electromagnetic radiation from the sun. The radiation from the sun was not detected until 1942. A prominent educator in Israel has achieved international recognition for her work using wireless signals to aid in prediction of extreme weather such as flash floods. Hajit Messer-Yaron has been honoured by IEEE for her work in harnessing wireless signals to collect weather data to serve as a reliable predictor of floods. She was inspired to assist meteorologists who had told her years ago that predictions are not always possible or consistent when using radar, satellites or other tools. Working with a research team, she found a more reliable method using wireless communication. The process involves use of algorithms developed by her and her team and applied to data collected from communication networks. The technique, which was tested first in Israel, can predict flash floods by extracting the data from measurements in the difference between the amplitude of the signals transmitted and those received. She's hoping to apply it to communications networks globally. Her hope is that people would be alerted well in advance of the storm and could be evacuated from affected areas sooner. For her work, she has received the Medal for Environmental and Safety Technologies from the IEEE, where she is also a Life Fellow. Has orbital debris gone out of control? In 1978, NASA scientists Donald J. Kessler and Burton G. Cour-Pellet proposed a scenario where the density of objects in low Earth orbit, LEO, would be high enough that collisions between objects would cause a cascade effect. In short, these collisions would create debris that would result in more collisions, more debris, and so on. This came to be known as the Kessler syndrome, something astronomers, scientists and space environmentalists have feared for many decades. In recent years, and with the deployment of more satellites than ever, the warning signs have become undeniable. Currently, there's an estimated 13,000 metric tons of space junk in LEO. With the breakup of another satellite in orbit, the Intelsat-33E satellite, the situation will only get worse. HAMSAI program gets a boost from $1.8 million NSF grant. Nathaniel Frissell, PhD, Whiskey 2 November Alpha Foxtrot, Associate Professor of Physics and Engineering at the University of Scranton, was recently awarded a grant of $1.8 million by the National Science Foundation to further the efforts of HAMSAI, that network of ham radio operators helping to measure weather effects among the Earth's ionosphere. According to W2NAF, the grant supports the development of a network of 30 standardized receive stations capable of observing high-frequency Doppler shifts, HF amateur radio weak signal propagation reporter whisper transmissions, very low-frequency transmissions, and natural radio emissions, and the geomagnetic field. The grant will also fund 10 WhisperSON transmitters to serve as a source of GPS-stabilized HF beacons and will tie into the existing Whisper network. HAMSAI recently organized the Solar Eclipse QSO parties, allowing hams to contribute to scientific studies aimed at understanding how the ionosphere reacts to solar eclipses. The 2024 QSO party contest results have been released with Dennis Egan, Whiskey 1 Uniform Echo taking the top spot in the single-op category, and Souris Valley Amateur Radio Club Kilo Zero Alpha Juliet Whiskey taking the top spot in the multi-op category. For VK1 WIA National News, in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
We are VK1 WIA. Now, operational news with VK4 FUQ, Felix.
Hello there. Now, Contest Wise 2024, International Earth Moon Earth Contest, 50 to 1296 MHz, next weekend, November 16-17. Work as many amateur stations as possible by the Earth Moon Earth Path on any authorised amateur frequency in the bands for the specific weekends. EME logs due back to the ARRL December 17. VHF UHF Field Day, Spring 2024, Saturday 23 November through Sunday 24 November. ARRL 160 meter CW. December 6 to 8 is the date this year, but as always, the first full weekend of December. This is a 42-hour period with no time limitation. Logs must be returned within 7 days. 10-metre $8 contest. For amateurs worldwide to exchange QSO information with as many stations as possible on the 10-metre band. Second full weekend of December, that is December 14, 15. Again, as in most AWL tests, logs are to be completed and returned within 7 days. Yoda contest. Youth on the air test 303 will be 29 December on the 5 classic bands CW and SSB. Dick's window to the world. Although many amateur radio special events focus on the earliest pioneering efforts that established communication via telegraphy, hams in Brazil are celebrating the 125th anniversary of the first wireless transmission of the human voice. The inventor, Sinus, was a Catholic priest. Listen throughout this month of November for PR5LM on the air. The L and the M represent the name of Padre Landel de Moura, an ordained priest and inventor fascinated with the concept of transmitting the human voice, and later, images, wirelessly. Before his death in 1928, Padre de Moura had successfully transmitted both voice and music on the electromagnetic spectrum, a feat celebrated throughout Brazil since his accomplishment in 1899. The Declaration of National Amateur Radio Day in Brazil on November the 5th honours his work, as well as the 1924 government decree that established regulation of amateur radio stations in Brazil. Amateurs in Brazil will be active on all HF bands using CW, SSB, RTE and FT8. They hope each contact will pay tribute to the man who successfully navigated the delicate territory balancing religion and science. New Zealand. NZRT has a special event call sign for the upcoming America's Cup to be held in Spain later this year. ZL6M Cup has been allocated to celebrate this event, with Phil Garside ZL2RO as the trustee of the call sign. November 30 is when ZL6M Cup goes off the air. Special call sign HP50VC is active until 31 December, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Swiss Air Amateur Radio Club, HP9VC. A growing trend these days is that QSL cards will not be provided, but QSOs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World. You can also download a certificate for working this special event station from the link we like in the text editions of WIA National News. In the World DX, we're listening for members of the Zurich City Police Radio Amateur Club, who throughout the year have been operating as HB20SP, as the club marks its 20th anniversary. Unfortunately, no Bureau of QSLs, but you can use Logbook of the World. And HP20SP runs until the end of next month, that is December 31. For VK1WIA National News, I'm Felix, VK4FUQ in Ingham.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with Bruce, VK3FFF.
And a very good day to you. Worldwide special interest group news. Adventure groups, including Parks on the Air. Chasing a Rare Park? Robert N20EF will be active as KH2/N20EF from Guam, OC026, until November the 13th. He said, the primary focus of this trip will be activating parks for the Parks on the Air POTA program. He says he will operate mainly SSB if conditions require. He said he may switch to digital modes, QSL via low TW preferred or direct to home call. The YN0MYDX group will be active as PA44PUCK ending this weekend. QSL via Club Logs OQRS. Information about the PA Flora and Fauna program can be found on the link in the text edition of this, the WIA National News broadcast. Worldwide special interest groups, balloons. Pico balloon breaks its silence over the Antarctic. A hydrogen balloon from Arizona has ended its months of silence with transmissions that were picked up by a ground station in Antarctica. Many months after it marked its first anniversary of orbiting the Earth, the WB6RER Pico balloon was spotted over the Antarctic. Germany's Antarctic station, Neumayer 3, DP0GVN/1, provided the good news following a period of concern when the balloon appeared to have gone silent for 5 months. The spot by the Antarctic Science Research Station showed that the balloon was flying at an altitude of 45,735 feet with its solar panel measuring 3.88 volts. Weighing 11 grams, the hydrogen gas-filled balloon was launched in May of 2023 from Golden Valley, Arizona. One of its greatest challenges during its year in orbit has been to overcome damage to its 20-metre dipole antenna. Baikonur to fly on 16th of November. This news is obviously wind direction permitting and all courtesy of the Secunda ARC in South Africa via the SARL. Time of launch will probably be around 700 CAT. Baikonur 12 will be carrying many fun payloads, enabling everyone to participate, from crossband repeaters together with APRS, Whisper and even SSTV. So diarise the morning of the 16th of November now. Stuart ZR1WT is flying a Whisper beacon on a circumnavigational balloon, which is hoped will eventually land on top of We Aussies. But until then, he'd really like your help to track it. The Whisper beacon call sign is ZR1WT on 20 metres. Its power is 10 milliwatts, transmitting two packets every 10 minutes, the first with its grid locator and the second with temperature, altitude, speed and PSU voltage. Another payload is SSTV on 433.4 MHz. This ZS6STN Baikonur CubeSat will be transmitting images that contain a quotation. If you're the first person to send through confirmation of the full quotation and its author, you'll win a prize. In addition, there'll be a special Baikonur 12 certificate for all those who manage to receive, decode, and send through at least one recognisable UHF SSTV image. Worldwide special interest groups, Final Frontier. Amateur satellite operators may be saddened to hear that the satellites XW2B, 2C and 2D are nearing re-entry into the atmosphere. The three identical Chinese microsatellites used for atmospheric physics experiments and amateur radio missions were launched in 2015. In the next few weeks, they will cease to exist after 9 years in orbit when they make a fiery return to Earth. This may be welcome news to some terrestrial operators worldwide, though. Satellite XW2C in particular has been transmitting what appears to be abnormal sweep-like signals on some terrestrial VHF repeater output frequencies and has been doing so for several years. AMSAT A07 to celebrate 50th anniversary. It has often been reported that the oldest satellites still working in space are the space probes Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. The Voyagers were both launched in 1977 to take advantage of the planetary alignment called back then the Grand Tour. Their images changed the human vision of our solar system. But are they really the oldest still functional spacecraft in outer space? What if we include spacecraft that remained behind in Earth orbit? It is even believable that the oldest still-working satellite in space wasn't even designed or operated by NASA or any other space agency. What if this satellite was designed by radio amateurs? Then, all things considered, A07, a small sat launched on November 15, 1974, is the oldest working satellite and is still providing service to hundreds of amateur radio operators around the world. Worldwide special interest groups, Internet, the ham's domain. Access to Internet Archive has been restored and the past editions are available. However, new uploads are still currently unavailable or intermittent. Attempts to upload currently cycle back to the main page, but for now, files from edition 1337 to present are housed in a temporary location until Internet Archive is fully restored. The archive appreciates everyone's patience as they work to provide continuing access in this issue. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, IOTA. Theo, PA3CBH, is active as 3D2TP from Fiti Levu, OC016 Fiji, until December 12th. He will operate QRP on SSB and QRS-CW. QSL 3D2TP via home call, which again is PA3CBH. Jean-Marc F5SGI is active as FR/F5SGI from Reunion Island, AF016, until November 18th. He will operate CW only on 40 to 10 metres. All QSOs will be confirmed automatically via the Bureau at low TW. David, F4FKT, will be active again from Antarctica between early November and late January 2025. Main activity will be during his spare time as FT4YM/P from Concordia Station, operating SSB and digital modes. In addition, he might be QRV as FT4YM from Dumont de Ville on Petrels Island, AN017, QSL via F5PFP. Eric PA1ET is active until Monday as MM/PA1ET/P from the Isle of Canna, the westernmost of the small isles archipelago in the Scottish Inner Hebrides, EU008. QRP on 40 and or 20 metres. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Radio Amateur Young Timers, YOTA, Youngsters on the Air. Alec, VK2MV, joins us.
Tunisian Ham Camp for Youngsters gets Yasmin Grant. Good fortune smiled upon the recent Youngsters on the Air sub-regional camp in Tunisia. For one thing, the camp coincided with Scouting's Jamboree on the Air. For another thing, they received some important monetary support from the Yasmi Foundation. The grant to the Association of Tunisian Radio Amateurs was announced 5 days prior to the camp getting underway. This is the second year that IARU Region 1 YOTA has been able to organise an African sub-regional camp. This year's participants included two youngsters from each Mauritania, Morocco, Egypt, Libya, and Algeria. Young hams were also joined by members of the Tunisian Scouts who were very familiar with the location as a well-used international scout camp facility. Organisers said that the inclusion of scouts this year will allow the hams to expand their own network even more. Camp activities include building antennas, fox hunting, solving problems, and of course, getting on the air.
Thanks, Alec. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Rescue Radio. As Cyclone Dana descended upon India recently, hams were deployed to keep messages getting through in case the information network was knocked out. Relief workers were deployed and 1.5 million people were evacuated and moved out of harm's way. The West Bengal Radio Club quickly established two amateur radio mobile stations at the request of the district magistrate. The hams also set up three base radio operations at governmental offices powered with backup battery power in case the weather took out the information infrastructure. With its arrival, the cyclone brought wind speeds of 100 to 110 kilometres per hour, snapping power lines and uprooting trees. Airports and schools were shut down. Early reports from officials in Odisha indicated there was no loss of life. Unfortunately, one person was reported killed in Bengal. I'm Bruce, VK3FFF from sunny Bendigo.
2024, it's a date.
This is Andrew, VK3CAH from the Southern Peninsula Amateur Radio Club, reminding listeners that the Rosebud Radio Festival will be held once again this year on Sunday, the 17th of November. As usual, the event will be held at the Eastbourne Primary School at Alambi Avenue, Rosebud, with outdoor displays open from 8 a.m. and the main sales area open from 10 a.m. continuing through till 2 p.m. If you have any pre-loved equipment to sell, tables are still available at $10 and can be booked online at www.rosebudradiofest.com. But be quick, as only a few tables remain. Two great technical forums will also be part of the Rosebud Radio Fest. An event has full catering, plenty of off-street parking and great door prizes. Entry fee is only $6, with under 12s free. See you in Rosebud on the 17th of November. 73 from Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew. And with that, I'm Graham, VK4BB. Thanks for tuning in as you're going your way for week commencing November 10. See you next week. Until then, walk softly.
From Australia, this has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.